When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earle, James O'Neill, and I, Luke Cutforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for a quick fire round, which includes some of your questions from social media. Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all socials, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. So guys, this week, before we start, I have some news for you. We've been featured on the homepage of Apple Podcasts.
No way.
Big clapping round for us.
Did we actually?
Yeah, we actually are. Massive big banner. Look at us go.
Did we actually all over his Instagram account?
Did we actually?
And we got a great comment on Twitter from Manino, who said, I didn't even know what podcasts were all about until today. And after listening to yours, I'm crazy about them. Greetings from Greece.
Oh, big Greece.
We love you, Manino.
That's friggin' awesome. Before we start, we always like to go through what happened last week and see how our polls performed. So if you have no idea what's going on in this section, then go back to last week and listen to that one first and then come back here. Last week, I started the show with my story about Meghan Markle's dad and whether he should attend the royal wedding. And 59% of Twitter agreed with me that he should come, because the rest of you guys thought he was a bad man, didn't you?
No, I thought it was up to her.
But most people agree with Josh's point that basically it's up to Meghan. So yeah. Well done, Josh. You educated them. As we saw at the wedding this week, did you watch it, by the way?
No, absolutely not.
I saw it briefly, but with no sound.
I did. It was cute. He didn't actually go, but only because he was having heart surgery. So I think I speak for all of us in saying, Thomas.
Excuses.
I hope you get better soon.
Excuses.
James.
That is not what we're saying. We hope you get better soon.
James, what was your story last week and how did it perform?
Last week, my story was about the whole Rita Ora drama and how her new song Girls was getting slated for not being very LGBT friendly towards bisexual women. And most people agreed that the criticism she was receiving was unwarranted. 64% of people.
Yeah, Lynn on Twitter said that bisexual women rarely get representation in music, and so she feels a little bit let down by the song, but thinks Rita has every right to write it. And Lucy, your story was the most popular in our polls last week. What were the results?
Shock.
Shocker.
People seem to be very vocal about porn.
If you're confused about that, go back and listen to the last episode of Educating Josh.
We basically talked about newsstands selling porn passes and the government controlling porn. And so I asked if access to porn should be controlled by the government. And 87% of you said no, along with most of us.
Yeah, I think we agreed on
that. I said yes, maybe. But
for Americans, it's guns. For the British, it's our porn. Don't take our porn.
Juno on Twitter said that in Belgium, some schools show porn in sex education lessons to teach kids the difference between real life and
that
porn.
That is so correct.
I think that's so right.
So just one very quick thing on that last subject is that I think that porn is getting blamed for people having issues and not understanding sex properly. And what the actual problem is a lack of education and people turning to porn to educate themselves. So more education.
Yay.
More education.
More sex.
That's
education,
the official line of educating Josh.
More education.
It kind of helps us, doesn't it? Anyway. Sorry, but we have to move on to the first story of the week. And that is James's story.
So, Josh, my story for this week comes from The Independent. Kim Kardashian has been criticized for promoting appetite suppressant lollipops. She's been hugely criticized for sharing a photo of her sucking an appetite suppressant lollipop in promotion of the diet brand. The marketing material for the diet brand states they're designed to be taken right for when you hit those mid-morning to mid-afternoon cravings. Many have criticized Kim for promoting a negative message for young girls, with one person commenting, "Disappointed to see such a post from such an influential media icon. Eating isn't shameful, our bodies aren't shameful, and we deserve better." My question is, should celebrities be banned from promoting weight loss aids?
So Josh, 20 seconds, go.
Okay, so I think that they shouldn't be banned at all, because I don't agree with any kind of suppression of freedom of speech.
Do you want to use any more of your 20 seconds?
No, that's it. That's all I need.
But do you think morally it's correct for big celebrities to promote this kind of product?
I guess it depends how you look at it, I suppose. They can really help people that eat too much and too often and do have to restrict their diet, snack in between meals, things like that. If they see someone that is influential promoting something like that, is that not a good thing? If you've got someone that's struggling to keeping to their diet, they need something, is that not then a useful tool?
No, because the majority of the time this is being used by young girls who are being fed this unnatural body image and being told they have to be really thin, because people aren't using this generally.
Hasn't she famously promoted a curvy body image? Isn't that what she's kind of known for?
Well, it's a, I don't know if it's real. She definitely has a very flat stomach. I think the issue is that it's encouraging people to build an unhealthy relationship with food. But I don't think they should be banned.
I think our relationship with food is unhealthy. Like most of it, like how much of America's obese? Is it not a useful thing?
The cure to that is not to give everyone appetite suppressant lollipops.
No, but you're not consisting solely of it. It sounds like it's been positioned so that it's like that mid-morning snack mid-afternoon snack.
No.
I don't think the appetite suppressant lollipops are inherently the problem. I think they're fine based on what the company said about them.
Yeah.
It's just the way that... I'll read out her post to you, because it's the way that she has gone about her post that's kind of...
Okay, what she
rubbed
said.
Me the wrong way. She's just said... you guys, this company has just dropped this new product. They're appetite suppressant lollipops and they're literally unreal. And then she directed them towards a promo code to buy them. She didn't say anything about them being, you know, for mid-morning or mid-afternoon snacks. She's just promoting it as these will stop you from going hungry her audience.
She's saying they're an appetite suppressant. That is a product that exists and she's promoting it. If people are abusing it, is that not then on the person? Is she actively promoting the use of appetite suppressants? Has she said, "Oh, don't have breakfast, have this"? Because if she hasn't,
I mean, she's promoted appetite suppressants in that she's promoted an appetite suppressant product.
I think the thing here is that they've gone and chosen to promote it through Kim Kardashian. So they're not going to Weight Watchers. They're not going to some kind of diet company. They're going to market to children and people who are susceptible to body image type advertising. There is nothing here that suggests that they are trying to help people lose weight from a health point of view.
But what's the difference? Because like the way you want to promote something and market it is not make it boring. They're just trying to have a good campaign. And I think it's people reading other things into it that is... I mean, again, it sounds like a case of people getting annoyed with something for the sake of it. Someone that doesn't need appetite suppressants, why are they looking at that and going, "I need appetite suppressants"?
Because they have body dysmorphia.
But then
it encourages an unhealy body image of thinking you have to be the absolute...
It's a product that can be promoted. It's not encouraging it. It's not saying don't eat your food, don't have a healthy diet. It's saying this product exists. Why can't that product be promoted in the same way?
But Kim Kardashian has a very unrealistic body that she photoshops, and she looks a very specific way. And I think the point is that a lot of young people will want to look like her and think that this is the answer. But I actually agree with you on some level. I don't think it should be illegal. I think that would be opening a complete can of worms. I mean, that would mean that we might have to look at banning them promoting junk food or alcohol or other things.
But we already
that
do in terms, in this country especially, we ban promoting alcohol and junk food to children.
No, I think with influencers, you have to be over 25 to promote it, but no one takes into account your audience.
I just mean on advertising. You can't advertise junk food.
I think the
children.
Only platform where
but
that...
But this is about celebrities.
The main platform I'm aware about where that exists is TV. You can't advertise any food on children's TV or anything like that. So it's regulated on that platform. I don't think she's done anything wrong. I don't think the company's done anything wrong. Maybe Instagram potentially can have a way of filtering it from people that are, if that's the law, and
of a younger age. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, so do you think maybe they can add a filter that excludes accounts that are younger than 18 being able to see that post? I think that's something that
would be an option.
Really important.
Do you
for
think
Instagram
Kim Kardashian
anyway.
Went into this with a genuine want to help people lose weight.
No, I think she got a lot of money from it.
Okay, so
she's been paid.
Okay.
I think she's been paid. And also, then you go on to this. What about celebrities that do fitness videos? My 10 steps to a flatter stomach.
She's just been really irresponsible, but she's not done anything illegal.
No, and I don't, maybe that's down to her. I don't disagree with it at all. It was her decision, and I think that I don't disagree with what she's done.
I think the really important thing here is what Lucy's saying, I think, is that she is, to a certain extent, whether unwittingly or wittingly, she is associating, look at my great body, with this tea or this whatever, this lollipop, right? And, well, and that's
post,
fake. It's not real.
But
it's
in
not
the
a
post
real body.
That James just showed, it was a picture of her head. There was none of her body in the post.
Yes, but it's associated with her whole account, and she does lots of body pictures to look like me. In general, I've been using these.
But do you think that they thought about that, and they thought, actually, let's not include...
I think she's shameless. I don't think she cares.
That's the whole of Instagram
has
body
shaming.
So it's a moral
issue.
I completely agree it's a moral issue. I just think I'd like to see a bit more consideration maybe from someone who does have a following of 111 million people, and a lot of young women are looking up to her, that maybe... she should.
But I'm so tired of that idea of you looking up to someone and them having a responsibility for you. Don't put your issues and your problems on someone else. Like, why is that okay? Why are you going, well, I have this thing, she's done this, oh, it's her fault. No, it's the illness that you have, or it's a problem that you have. It is not that person's fault.
All right, well, we've got to wrap up. James, do you feel satisfied that you've educated Josh today?
No.
Do you agree with Josh in any way?
Yeah, no, I think we reached the middle ground in that it shouldn't be banned. I don't think it should be illegal or like legislated at all, but...
Recognise the role model, because she's someone that got famous from a sex tape. She injects fat into her ass. Like, why are you wanting to be like her?
But that's human nature. That's how people work. That's how advertising works.
I just think she needs to be shamed for it, but she doesn't need to be banned from doing it.
All right, fantastic. Well, you can let us know on Twitter what you think in our polls. Next story, Lucy.
So my headline this week was taken from Vox, and it is that the media should stop making school shooters famous. Here are the three things that you need to know. This story comes off the back of media outlets reporting the name and photos of the perpetrator in the recent school shooting in Santa Fe. Focusing on the perpetrators of school shootings and other mass shootings has been a long-standing practice in the media. This was particularly evident with the 1999 Columbine High School shooting. Nearly 20 years later, these two people who turned their guns on themselves have amassed a cult following. Following the 2012 shooting at a movie theatre in Colorado, Tom and Karen Tevez have created a campaign called the No Notoriety Campaign, which wants the media to limit the use of perpetrators' names and images. My question is, should the media continue publishing the details of such killers?
20 seconds, Josh. Go!
Okay, so I don't... I could be quite problematic here, on trend. I don't think they should, because I think there's two types... And I don't think there's only two types, so don't quote me on this, but you have people that are mass extremists, and then you have people that are very ill, and people that are ill, I'd rather they have help and are named so it doesn't happen again.
They don't need to be named to get help, though, do they?
No.
No, but it raises awareness for those kind of... You know, when you put a name to a person and you're able to go, this was this person, this was their background, this is what happened to them, this is the lack of help that they had... And I don't... This is really hard.
But they still could be used as inspiration for another attacker.
But inspiration in what way? I think...
Because they'd be all over the press. They'd
do you think, Matt, well, do you think...
Well, have there been... Are there shootings where it was for fame? Where someone did it to get fame? Because I think a lot of the cases that... And I could just be being really ignorant and I'm not informed. But a lot of the ones that I hear about are this person was severely bullied, or this person was, not in a good place. They weren't... well mentally, and this was their last, or what they thought. I don't know. I can't.
So
I really
I think
can't
what
inflict
I think you're
how
sort
someone
of saying
was thinking.
Is sort of like, because while this is what I'm reading from you, is that while a shooter may go out and shoot somebody and hold up a past shooter as their reason, as their inspiration, you think that they probably would have done it anyway because they're mentally unstable and there's other reasons. So even if we sensationalize these people and hold them up as big deities of past shootings,
yeah,
it would have happened anyway?
Well,
is that sort of what you mean?
I don't know how bothered they are about, and again, I'm probably not well informed on this subject enough, but I don't know how much they're looking for fame, because I'm pretty sure a lot of them die or commit suicide at the end anyway.
See, this is the issue. We can't actually ask the vast majority of them why they did it.
Yeah.
But it does turn a no one into a someone, and suddenly this person that isn't known, isn't important in their community, is known by absolutely everyone, and they're remembered for something.
They are, and also I think it then inspires people to go out. It's more sort of, they shouldn't have a face to it at all, I think. It's like when, for example, this is very off topic, but when they were dealing with Osama bin Laden, they didn't want to bring him to the US and bring him on trial, because then he'd be like a martyr to the movement of Al-Qaeda. They wanted to make sure that was just snuffed out, and they couldn't hold him up as this figurehead to go.
I mean, that's rubbish. They already made him a martyr.
Okay, but aside from that.
But going back on topic, I do think that this is about limiting names and photos. We can still talk about their situation. If they were mentally ill,
yeah, that's true.
Then we still can publish that in the media.
But that doesn't seem to be what gets reported. And so,
I don't know. And again, it
is really difficult, because in my opinion, based on what I've seen, like, where it would be a good thing to introduce is where it's radicalism and promoting an organization that promote fear. I think that's where, if you don't report it, yeah, because then what about the victims? What about the people that need support? What about people that need help? And I guess it's kind of one of those things. I mean, we've got the anniversary of Manchester, and so that's one of those things where it showed a country coming together so beautifully and supporting this devastating thing that happened. Mm. And actually, I think it would have been a really beautiful thing. So I'm disagreeing with my original statement, because I think it would have been a really beautiful thing if what happened and the people behind it and things like that wasn't reported
just ignored.
On. Yeah. It's just ignored.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
don't give them a platform.
Yeah, I'm kind of at a loss as well. I don't know. I don't fully understand my own opinions on this, because there's benefits to both sides and there's cons to both sides.
The thing I find awkward about this, firstly, I don't think we should sensationalize or even name these people, because they're just awful and they should just go away and be forgotten forever. But just to get my opinion out there, sorry. However, I think the real issue here is that it's more than just the sensationalization of anything, of any kind of drama, of any kind of negativity. What you were saying there, Josh, is that the response to the Manchester attack was one of outpourings of love and support and positivity.
I think it was, you know, a moment for me where I was quite proud of the British media.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a response like that in the media before. And there's a lot of indoctrinated fear in the States. You know, you walk in and at any given moment on American TV, it's this person's killed this person, this has happened, this has happened. And, you know, Bowling for Columbine, in that documentary, they talk about the difference between America and Canada. And in Canada, people leave their doors open and the crime rate is so low. And in America, it's ridiculously high and people are terrified. And then you compare the news in Canada to the news in America and you see why.
I went out to America recently and I turned on the news and I thought I was watching a parody. It was bizarre.
Yeah. It is, I mean, coming from the UK and going over there and watching American TV and especially the news is an experience, because it is so amped up, like every little thing. But I think
every tiny detail
going back to the story, because we could get lost on that for forever. But I think I disagree with my original statement. I think that even in cases of extreme acts like Manchester, though, what about the people that are wanting justice? Like, they should still be informed. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe it doesn't have to go to press, but people whose families were hurt, they need to know what's going on. If someone is being caught, like, what's happening, and it's a way of informing people.
Yeah, sure. I think victims, yes.
But... And what's the right of the public to know?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because what you're saying now is, let's restrict information to the general public.
But it's only a picture and a name. It's not the details we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Lucy... Mm-hmm. Josh has changed his opinion. Do you feel like satisfied that you have educated Josh on
I
this
think
subject?
For the first time in this entire series. I know it's only episode 3, but I feel like I may have educated. I was going to say evolved. I evolved him.
You're not a Pokemon.
We've now got a level 2 Josh.
I have evolved.
All right, fantastic. Well, you can let us know on Twitter what you think in our polls. Now we move on to the last story of this week's episode. It's my story. Okay, Josh, my story comes from The Verge this week, and it's that Lando Calrissian's newfound pansexuality is balderdash. It doesn't say balderdash, but I've edited out the rude word for the children. According to the co-writer of the new Star Wars movie Solo, Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian is pansexual. Glad defines pansexuality as an attraction to all gender identities or to people regardless of their gender. So this is called retroactive representation, and this is nothing new. J.K. Rowling revealed in interviews after the books released, Harry Potter books, by the way, that Dumbledore is gay.
I always thought Dumbledore was gay.
And this then coined the term the Rowling Rule. The Verge ends their piece stating, real representation means crafting considered, nuanced characters whose sexuality is treated as respectfully on screen as it is off. If the creators want to do right by LGBT fans, they can start by picking them up off the cutting room floor. The question, Josh, is... do filmmakers have a duty to definitively show the sexuality of their characters on screen? 20 seconds, begin.
I kind of feel that shouldn't all characters be pansexual until it becomes relevant to the story?
That's a much wider question.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal of the world, isn't it? Is that everyone will come out as either gay or straight or whatever they want to be, right? And we just assume
that
they're
people
something.
Just are. That's kind of my dream, is people just
or no,
are.
Yeah, there's no coming out at all.
Okay, well, do you want to do your 20 seconds or do you want to just go,
let's go straight into it?
I mean, that's it. I think it'd be really nice if you know, sex wasn't something that... I make films. I've made a film. We made a film together, Luke. It was good fun.
Oh, promo.
What is it that...
what? It's not out yet, so it's not really promo.
Yeah, we can't really promote it yet. Why is it when you sit down and define a character that sexuality comes into it in the first place? Like, I think
it's not that sexuality comes into it. It's that they have gone. So this is the, this
gender
is the real
or sex.
Issue.
What am I getting wrong here, by the way?
Sexuality.
Okay.
So this is the real issue here is that basically, the writers of Star Wars, which, by the way, I've seen Star Wars, full disclosure, the new one.
You've seen Solo.
I've seen Solo.
So you know.
I know I've seen this film. I met Ron Howard. He's lovely. Anyway, shout out to Ron Howard. Are you listening?
I met Ron Howard.
The issue here is that basically what they're trying to do, or what people think they're trying to do, is they're releasing a film that doesn't...
I don't like at all is the fact that they've used this, what it sounds like, as marketing program.
Yes, so this is what I'm getting to.
Why is this important?
Let me finish.
Exactly where it's going.
Yes, this is exactly. Don't jump my gun, Joshy.
I mean, I beat to it, Luke.
So, the issue here is they are releasing a film that doesn't in any way promote LGBTQ+ visibility,
mm-hmm.
and then announcing after the fact, oh, by the way, this character is pansexual, in the hope of, so some people think, getting the kind of marketing, the promo, the hype, the retweets.
Yeah, but is it relevant? You've seen the film. Is it relevant to the story?
No, it's absolutely irrelevant to the story.
So then, yeah, that's just
and
pure marketing.
They don't
dribble.
Reference it at all.
Yeah.
There's no suggestion. And
There's a suggestion. Well, he fancies a robot. So actually, spoilers.
Right.
He fancies a robot. So it's not even just pansexuality. Sexual robot.
Sexual?
Now that I think about it, this is a really weird film.
Well, I think, Star Wars 7 when they introduced, what's his face? BB-8's owner.
Poe Dameron.
So people think he's gay, right?
But that, do they?
People are theorizing that Poe Dameron and Finn, the ex-Stormtrooper, are in a relationship, are going to be in a relationship.
And that was something that I really liked about that Star Wars film, was because they didn't define anyone's sexuality, but depending on how you read it, you were able to read that into it.
That's perfect. That's wonderful.
And they didn't make a thing of it. It was fans and it was people watching it that went, oh, have you noticed this connection? That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And they didn't hype it up. But now what it sounds like they've done is they've gone, oh, that gave us some free promo. Let's deliberately have someone be pansexual. And that's actually... I mean, Disney just don't get topics like this right, do they?
Because the thing about Rowling, J.K. Rowling, for example, I don't know loads about it, but I love the Harry Potter series. And I didn't personally have an issue with her announcing Dumbledore as gay because I believe she genuinely did plan that because she said she told a fan.
Well, like I said, I read that reading the book.
Oh, did
you? So I always thought that Dumbledore was gay. And Grindelwald.
But what J.K. Rowling later on then went to say is she went in a bunch of newspapers saying, oh, by the way, there were some gay students and trans students and lesbian students and bi students.
And Hermione was black.
And, well, Hermione might have been. But she clearly...
Well, she wasn't.
She clearly wrote a book in which that's not happening.
Yes.
Your Ball is
didn't give it a
boys, girls, get a date, go together. And there's never any suggestion that anyone...
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, by the way, yeah, there was a bunch of gays there.
She comes on Twitter... 5 years later,
my book's
goes,
not
oh, by
problematic.
The way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it literally does say her pale skin, which in the
several
book,
times, yeah.
Yeah, like a few times. No, that really did annoy me, especially because, like, you know, I did read Dumbledore is gay and it was so loosely kind of aimed that way that it was just nice and refreshing and it wasn't a big thing and it was just being able to normalize it, which is what's really important, I think. And yeah, I just find it really disappointing that they've made such a, you know, big hype about it. That's a real shame.
I think it's particularly toxic when they use it, like when they use gay baiting methods to get promo, like you said,
absolutely.
Taking it back to that. Another recent one was Pitch Perfect 3, in which the whole, like a lot of the ads behind it was, will these two female characters kiss? Are they going to get their kiss? Are they going to kiss? And they had like ads where they almost kissed but didn't. And then
in the film, because there's a reason for it, if that makes sense. Like there are two female characters that could kiss. And if that was...
But it wasn't written into the films at all. They were just
in the trailer.
It was just friends.
It was just in the promo.
They're just friends in the film.
Oh my God.
There's nothing to it. Yeah.
Okay, well that's different then.
So Josh, my question to begin with was, do the filmmakers have a duty to definitively show the sexuality of the characters?
No, they have a duty not to.
If it's classy and if it fits, then by all means.
If it's real.
If they're just thrusting on some girl and girl action onto a...
Excuse me.
Thrusting on some girl.
Oh.
And we're back in last week's episode.
This is like you with the stiff.
I can't help it.
If you're confused, go and listen to last week's episode.
No, but if they are just... Actually, I'm going to own the word. Thrusting girl-on-girl action onto our screens just to get some PR bonus. I think that's dreadful.
Yeah, no.
Oh, God, I even said bonus. Right, I'm just
all right, we're going to move on. In conclusion, I feel quite happy that we've come to a nice happy medium on this, nice happy
Absolutely.
Middle ground.
I completely agree with Josh in that there's no duty
yeah,
to show sexuality.
Luke, absolutely not. I think everyone fully agrees with me. There's no middle ground.
I don't think
there's no middle ground.
Yeah,
all right,
cool.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to move on now. Is that all right? Everyone happy? It's time for the quickfire round. Josh, Corinne Mensah, who was recently named Miss Curvaceous UK 2018, says it's unfair that plus size clothing costs more money because it uses more materials.
No, that's logical.
Okay. Sweden's government has sent out booklets to citizens giving advice on how to prepare for war, which critics say is a cause of anxiety, especially since Sweden hasn't been at war since 1814.
I don't think they're the best people to be doing it.
A beauty worker has been fired by the company that employed her for giving a free makeover to YouTuber Shane Dawson whilst he was vlogging.
So he was vlogging in the store and...
And she gave him a free makeover. Free promo, right?
Yeah. I don't get the problem.
All right, well, she's been fired. That's the problem. After pleading with MPs for a sugar tax on milkshakes, Jamie Oliver's website has been found to be endorsing a milkshake that contains 46 teaspoons of sugar.
What a hypocrite.
Yeah. And our feel-good story of the week, Josh. Meghan Markle's rescue dog, Guy, received the royal treatment as he rode into Windsor in an armoured Range Rover sat next to the Queen.
I mean, he's just a dog.
No,
what?
he's Sir
All
Woofington.
Dogs matter.
Why has he got an armoured truck and Meghan Markle's going in a horse and carriage?
Because he deserves one.
The Queen was in it as well. They went in together.
Oh, really? Oh, she should get out.
The Queen.
She should be the dog.
The Queen and a dog got a tank.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. We had a pretty good week this week, didn't we?
I really enjoyed it.
Two stories we agreed on. Fantastic. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content for each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd also love for you to send in questions for next week's quick fire round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.